Hello, welcome to the panel on how to misuse the internet and make people love you. We're mostly just going to be talking about fucking around on the internet, trying to misuse sites in ways that they weren't intended, interesting ways. And I'm going to introduce everybody. By the way, the hashtag for the panel is Brony2012, which Cole came up with, was super proud of, but apparently like a lot of My Little Pony fans have also thought of that. But they're not tweeting today. I'm Nick Douglas. I'll be moderating. I write a comedy blog called Slacktory. Used to work at Erlesque, which was an AOL blog about funny shit on the internet, and used to write Valleywag, where I just abused people in real life. And Topher Chris?
Hi. My name is Christopher Price, but on the internet I'm known as Topher Chris, and I work for Tumblr. And they hired me 3 years ago after I made a bunch of really wacky stuff on the internet that David Karp really liked.
Hi, I'm Cole Stryker. I don't really do wacky stuff on the internet so much as I write about other people doing wacky stuff. I wrote a book about 4chan and Anonymous called Epic Win for Anonymous that came out in September. And now I'm writing another book about anonymity in general and identity on the internet.
My name is John. I'm Fart on Twitter. I use Twitter for fun, and I don't care who knows it.
My name is Kizuna Topless. I made a bunch of my own blogs, and now I work for BuzzFeed.
I was going to start with a few other examples of some examples that we have of people like misusing the internet. The sort of thing we're talking about is kind of like single-serving sites, like the Barack Obama is your new bicycle, and fake novelty Twitters, and using any of these tools in ways that you can, particularly in ways that people tend to use them very seriously, and so when you fuck around with them, get a particular kind of joy that you don't get from a lot of other types of jokes. Baratunde Thurston in his keynote this week talked about how one of his favorite things after the Onion abortion plex article was not just the number of people that thought there was an abortion plex from Planned Parenthood with a buffet and massage chairs and everything, but that people who were in on the joke created a Yelp page for it and started leaving reviews critiquing the buffet, and that it just became this special little kind of joke. They got to have a new life because it was, you know, it's much funnier to do it on Yelp than to just spread around little messages and jokes about how you liked the abortion plex or not. Another example that I've liked this week is that Mike Montero is not attending South By, but has been tweeting as if he were. He'll consistently have like fake celebrity sightings. What I really like the most is when he tweets someone saying, he tweets two people, like right here, at Violet Blue, "I'm drinking with Scott Beal, join us," leaving Scott to explain to Violet Blue, "No, I'm sorry, he's not even here." Which, one of the things that strikes me about a lot of these things is sometimes they can seem actually just plain cruel. I'd actually love to talk to John about this, because John, you have made Smash Mouth eat eggs, if you could explain that story.
Well, I mean, sure. I was up late one Thursday night, a little bit half drunk or so, and I was kind of trolling the Twitter verified list, and they follow the verified account, follows everyone who's been verified and recently, and the newest ones are first. And I noticed Smash Mouth had just been verified as an account. They had only about 200 followers. So I decided to kind of blow them up a little bit and be like, hey, I'll give this guy $20 if he eats a bunch of eggs for me. And, you know, I didn't mean anything by it at the time, but a lot of people started retweeting that, and a lot of people started actually offering money for charity at some point. And Smash Mouth ignored it, obviously, as they should have done for a very long time. And then eventually they were playing a show up north of where I live in San Jose, in Saratoga. And the guy who coordinated that show, his name is Nathan Zanon, Z-A-N-O-N. He's a good guy. And he talked to the band about this whole thing. and he started the causes page, and you know, it took off from there, and it became legitimate, like a thing that they were going to do.
How much money did they eventually raise?
Over $11,000. So nice. For St. Jude's, which is like a real mm-hmm. charity where like people need it, which is amazing. And I was just sitting there being a dick on the computer. So that was great.
Was there any time online where you acknowledged the charity thing and like endorsed that aspect of it?
Absolutely. Like as soon as the causes page went up and somebody told me about it, I was like, everybody go give generously to this.
Oh, shit. Because that was one of the things I enjoyed, was that I thought you didn't. I was like real pleasure in that, like,
no,
and he just kept being a dick.
Yeah, no.
You didn't ever refer to the guy by his name, though. You kept calling him Smash Mouth, like specifically the one lead guy.
That's his name. That's
his name is Smash Mouth.
His name is, he's Mr. Mouth, yeah.
Yeah, you would call him Mr. Mouth.
And
yeah.
You were like being a dick to Guy Fieri as well.
Guy Fieri is kind of a dick.
Explain like how he tried.
He's
to
kind
get...
of a hanger-on to this whole situation. Like he wasn't involved at any point.
And he wanted to cook the eggs.
He wanted to cook the eggs. I wanted to just feed him like Mr. Mouth. I wanted to feed him a bunch of hard-boiled eggs, just like from my hand, my unwashed hand. You know. And this apparently did not happen because Guy Fieri came up and was like, "I'm going to cook the eggs," and they were way too spicy. I ate some of them. They were just too spicy to eat, and I think that was the problem. I think Mr. Math only ended up eating like 9 of them out of the 24, I think.
From your point of view, a failure, really.
It was a failure, but I stopped caring because,
you had moved on to
it. Yeah, no. And then like Jose Canseco came around and I just stopped caring. But yeah.
Wait, what did you do to Jose Canseco?
He wears diapers. I mean, I think he wears diapers. I don't know. But I'm going to talk to him about it.
So. All right. Thank you. And this is another thing I want to talk about is Katie, the corporate twits account, if you could talk about that, and your blogs, including dumb tweets at celebs and dumb tweets at brands.
So I had started two similar concepts, separate blogs, dumb tweets at celebrities, dumb tweets at brands, just noticing, doing a lot of searching and seeing that, like, a lot of people just write to celebrities or brands. You know, it's different with brands because that's where you get, like, a lot of the really, like, stupid complaints, which are just really aggravating. Like, anyone, if you ever see someone, like, tweeting at an airline, like, you just want to die. Like, you just feel so bad for whoever has to answer these, like, angry tweets. But sometimes they're, like, positive, and sometimes they're just, like, stupid. So I just started, you know, screenshotting the sort of stupid ones and assembling them together. And then someone who, no one knows his real name, boring as heck, made a similar concept, but sort of totally different, where he would sort of just troll these corporate accounts by making up these ridiculous complaints, like, I went into McDonald's and there was a raccoon. can you please explain what happened here? And then it would sort of like force the person to be there, be like, oh my God, can you tell me what location was that? Like, we're so sorry. And then just sort of, you know, trolling them like that. And John actually did probably my favorite one, where I don't even know how to say, like, El Quidoba Luncha, like that, like,
Qdoba, like,
Qdoba,
yeah.
Qdoba, Quidoba. He tweeted at them, what do you say if someone comes in and is wearing a diaper and sticks their head under the soda fountain while wearing the diaper? And they were like, that is totally unacceptable. What location did that happen in? We will remedy this. And then John replies, no, 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 I'm asking if I can. And they were like, no. So that's just sort of like, I mean, these people, they have to answer. That's their job. And it's kind of mean to explain.
Yeah, John, do you feel remorse over any of that?
No.
Do you ever, has anyone tried to ever, like, reason with you over this or really?
Not really. It's a job that somebody's doing. They look at their mentions all day long and try to address complaints.
Yeah.
I think that at some point, you know, things like the Pizza Hut account, for example, is pretty much solely dedicated to looking at complaints that people are having about Pizza Hut pizza, which are numerous. Like, there's a lot of people hating on Pizza Hut. So they probably, like, their eyes glaze over and they don't really read, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so they reply a lot. And I don't know. It's been harder the last couple months to get replies. I think people are wising up a little bit.
People are savvy? What's that? Yeah, that people are getting savvy?
They're starting to, yeah. They're starting to realize that maybe, like, they're not all as naive as them. So it's a little bit less fun, but it's still a good time to just mess with brands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's good to go. Like, I've sort of gone after the ones that, like, don't get, like, something like Pizza Hut or probably gets a lot of complaints, but, like, I've a couple times gone after, like, the cord blood donation places. Because they're always advertised. They're always, like, promoted on Twitter, which I feel like then you're just asking for it. And, like, no one punks the cord blood people, you know? So
with good reason, no?
But, I mean, I don't feel bad for, you know, trolling those people. Because I think that, like, you know, on one hand, people are like, hey, man, it's just like someone trying to do their job. But, like, on the other hand, it's like, it's not a bad job. You just sit around and answer some complaints.
It's not a real job.
You're probably entertaining them. They probably love it.
Yeah.
And so, also,
it's some intern. They're, like,
right,
19 years old or something.
But I don't think it's interns. I think that at some point it was interns doing this for companies. And now it's, like, a desirable real position, you know, that people, for especially for the large corporations, answering these kind of complaints.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I've interviewed for jobs where they ask, can you do Facebook, can you do Twitter, and it's like, no, I don't know anything about that, because I don't want to be one of those people at all, ever. And it's just it's kind of a hack job, really, you know. It's, you know, Twitter's great, Facebook's great, but
sorry,
nobody's doing
people.
Any real work on it. So
this stuff is, of course, like more at the forefront of a tradition that's pretty old, and it seems like 4chan is one of the originators of, I mean, obviously they've only been around for so long, and people were pranking each other online long before it, but 4chan seems to have kind of mainstreamed this idea that we can use the internet to fuck with each other. I would love if you would tell like, kind of the marble cake story and the other story that I'll let you save the punchline of.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think 4chan trolls, and I guess Something Awful was doing this for a while before 4chan sort of broke out, kind of invented this concept of collaborative trolling, where you get 100 or maybe 1,000 people together to harass an individual, and sometimes that looks horrific, and sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes both. The most famous one is probably the marble cake phenomenon where, how long ago was this? 2 years? 3 years?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Where Time did their Time 100 poll to determine who the top 100 most influential people are in the world. And basically, someone found this on 4chan and decided that they would put out a call to action that they should game the system in order to orchestrate, like, each name on the list to appear in a certain order, and they put Mood at the top as the founder of 4chan. And, like, that would have been a victory enough, but they also lined up all the other names to spell out Marble Cake, which I won't explain, but feel free to Google.
It's pretty much like Santorum. It's very similar, too.
It's just one of those purposefully disgusting concepts that's probably never happened in real life, but exists in the minds of 14-year-olds. And then also The Game, which is just a reference to basically, like, we've owned you.
It's the game where the only rule of the game is when you think of the game, you lose.
Everyone in this room has just lost the game.
Yeah, so you've just lost the game, and you can never win it.
I thought it was the rapper this entire time.
They were really excited about him and just wanted to promote him.
There's actually, on 4chan, people will just, like, throw a link up to the game's Wikipedia page, the rapper, the game, and if you click it and look at it, you've lost. So the other story is probably my all-time favorite 4chan troll story, and it deals with Oprah. There's this widespread belief that 4chan is full of pedophiles, which is mostly not true. A bunch of 4chan trolls went on Oprah's message boards and started, you know, posting trollish content, and one of the things they said was, we do not forgive, we do not forget, which is like a common anonymous piece of rhetoric. We have over 9,000 penises, and we're coming for your children. And anyone who had spent any time on 4chan knows that over 9,000 is a meme that is actually derived from the anime Dragon Ball Z. It's just a guy screaming over 9,000 in a kind of funny way. So over 9,000 has just become this like nonsense meme on 4chan, and that would have been like the telltale clue to all the other people just sort of causing trouble, like this is a joke. But obviously Oprah's, whatever intern is in charge of managing Oprah's message board wasn't aware of this. And so there's footage on YouTube of Oprah on her show quoting this person saying, we do not forgive. She sets it up like, we have a message from our website that was posted by a member of a known pedophile network. So basically believing that there's this pedophile ring out there that consists of over 9,000 members. And, you know, I don't know if it shows it in this clip, but, you know, the audience members are just, like, gasping and, you know, what, my kids, they aren't safe. No, let her do it.
Of a known pedophile network. It said this. He doesn't forgive. He does not forget. His group has over 9,000 penises. And they're all raising children. So, I want you to know, they're organized. And they have systematic ways of hurting children.
So... this shows like one of the greatest, one of the reasons I am so into this kind of thing is it revealed so much about Oprah. Right then, everything you've ever heard her say and thought was true, like she could be convinced by fucking 4chan teenagers. Anything she said could have been false. And I really like that. That seems like what the tweeting at brands thing. It takes these things that people used to think were like real adult things, and it's like, oh, these are people and they can be supremely wrong or confused.
It exposes a widespread gullibility and just a lack of fact-checking and a lack of, understanding about the nature of the internet as a place where anybody can just get away with saying whatever they want and that people will take it at face value.
And I feel like it does it so much better than so many serious people trying to raise questions about journalistic integrity. Like, all these kids wanted to do think Oprah was going to say that.
The over 9,000 penises says more about media than over 9,000 Clay Shirky pieces. Not to pick on Clay Shirky, but just like media criticism.
So to switch gears a little bit, Topher Chris, we haven't been able to ask you anything yet.
Hello.
I wanted to talk about, the story of you coming to Tumblr and then finding you just because it sounds mostly because you were a fantastic user. That's at least how they found you and were able to hear of what you could add to the.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I at the time I didn't know I was a fantastic user, but
really, really, did you think like this is just what everybody does is make all this stuff?
I think I knew that I cared about it more than mm-hmm. most people, and that I like really I got upset when people didn't like what I was doing, and I really just thought about it all the time. But, you know, I wanted to do it right, and I had lots of time on my hands at that time of my life. And, I started about, 50 different blogs.
Yeah.
And David Karp, for some reason, liked all that stuff, mm-hmm. which is genius on his part, I have to say.
Did you ever get a sense that he had anticipated anyone would be using Tumblr the way you were? Or did it seem like he was like, oh, wow?
I'm not sure that he did. I'm mm-hmm. not sure. I don't know, but I don't think so.
And by now, it's just accepted that this is how you use Tumblr, is you make these things.
Sure.
And that's one thing that's really impressed me, that do you find at the office, is there any like active, conscious encouragement of that? That Tumblr seems like, as great as the things that happen on Twitter and other sites are, Tumblr seems like the only one where the company is actually really encouraging this, rewarding this, publicly, names the people who are just using it to screw around and to
sure.
mess with how it works.
Well, certainly David has a great sense of humor, which a lot of people don't know. The fact that you can create a new Tumblr blog in about 60 seconds, mm-hmm. You can just...
It is literally easier than creating another Twitter account, because exactly. here you have to like log out and get a new email. And yeah.
Exactly. And just the fact that, we have some features like photo sets and promoted posts now that, you can have a little fun with, mm-hmm. that almost you can make like a new new kind of genre, like the GIF wall mm-hmm. in the photo sets, that.
And have you found that influencing when you release features, like expecting or do you just at least generally know like...
Yeah, I think it informs what we're thinking about
this
a lot
is
of times
get...
in terms of community-based features. And, mm-hmm. We learn so much from the community.
And I'd love to ask, since now you're paid to be involved in that all the time, who are some of your favorite people on Tumblr who you find, messing around?
Everybody on this desk right here. My favorite. People that I don't even remember their names, but that are just doing wacky stuff that might only exist for a couple of weeks, you know, and it's really hilarious, and then it just sort of runs out. I mean, Rick Perry, Bad Ideas, you know, that was the best thing that I'd seen in a long time.
There's a blog, Rick Perry, Unpopular Opinions, is that it?
I believe that's...
Oh, there it is.
What's a blog?
I'm trying to write these out really fast, so any, like, personal sites I visited don't come up. Rick Perry nude. I didn't search that. Oh, so apparently it's done. There was a rumor it was being deleted.
I didn't hear that.
As happens. This is not it.
This isn't the one.
There's another.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Google will tell us. God damn it. Anyway, there's a blog that has all those words, and it's a bunch of GIFs of Rick Perry, and I'll look it up as we talk about the next thing.
But my current favorite thing is Batman and Robin running from things. Where
yes,
they took an
that's a new one.
Of Batman and Robin, the old school Batman and Robin. And
Batman really gets mashed up in things a lot more than almost any other like comic book character.
It's true.
I wonder what... That's all I have.
Well, the original, you know, Adam West was just sort of hilarious, mm-hmm. right? So, oh, here we go. Yeah, we got some good...
And so, I was under the impression that the guy who invented anime GIFs came to Tumblr at some point. Is that right? No? Am I completely off? Nope,
I never. I don't know of that. No.
Nope.
No.
All right. Because I was hoping to know if he had any commentary on that, like, this is what animated GIFs do now, generally, right?
I would love to get his opinion on that.
Because, like, you know how, I think it's probably still true that if you just Google animated GIFs, you still largely get these sites that are like, they're like, oh, look, yeah, it's downloaded an image at me already, and it's like 3D metal letters.
It's more like,
and yet that's not what it means to anybody.
Right. It's not communicating anything. It's certainly not funny.
Right, right.
Unless it's ironically.
It was this kind of... It was almost like the blink tag. It was just this unneeded thing.
Totally.
That has now become, yeah, really great for humor.
It's an art form.
Right. And do you think... Actually, speaking of like things that weren't really needed becoming great for humor, one of the things I've tried finding is new social networks that can be fucked with. That South By has actually been great for it. The way that Mike Montero is fucking with Twitter, there's a... What's the site? My10? Does anyone know the name of that one where you could buy and sell people's 10 minutes? Anyway, there's a site where you can buy and sell 10 minutes of someone else's time. And the only people... Yeah, legitimately... Not in like a TaskRabbit way, just of like networking, basically. People like trying to find a famous person and force them to have a conversation with them. And the site actually had like some really... it went through a bad PR debacle where they had put placeholders for people who had not agreed to this. And so, like, Boing Boing and other blogs had to write up, like, sorry, you can't buy our time. These people are pretending. And I was actually really hoping that there would be more people on it. Ironically, you know, all I found was this one profile for Big Dog based on, like, the Big Dog T-shirts. And it was not real, but it was just a guy who was like, we'll talk about whatever. And like, punching and shit.
Like the subject of a lot of like fake people doing fake Big Dog.
Is that true? That I didn't know.
Yeah, there's like a lot of fake Big Dog.
So this
stuff.
Was part of this was really like part of a thing. It wasn't just an arbitrary.
You got trolled by the troll.
I did.
You tried to troll. You got countered.
Can you tell me like what the?
I don't know quite the origins of it, but it's just sort of. I mean, Big Dog. If you're not familiar, Big Dogs is like a T-shirt brand that's like sort of similar to the like co-ed naked kind of thing, where it's like if you're a big dog, you know. Do this.
It started with if you can't run with the big dogs, get out of it. There's T-shirts.
It's like a T-shirt brand, and like it's really cheesy, and it's kind of like bro, and so.
It's like, where's my bailout?
I'd like to see an example.
Yeah, they've got a lot of March Madness shirts.
Yeah,
and like,
magnets for a lot of like.
Thank you.
I'm hungry, and you're in my way.
Yeah, so it's sort of become a magnet for a lot of parodies, but in like a super subtle way where you might not realize it's fake.
Here's where I've bought and sold 10 minutes back and forth with someone, and here's, Big Dogs, which was, they weren't even, like, particularly pretending to be Big Dogs convincingly. They were just, like, not taking crap from nobody was listed as something that they were an expert on, and you could get advice from them.
But that's so, kind of like pay for tweet almost, mm-hmm. in a way, where it was like a thing where you could pay whatever you name your price, and someone else is allowed to tweet from your account. So the idea would be that, like, hey, I have a Twitter account, and I'm willing to sell ads on, you know, I'll monetize my Twitter by letting, like, you know, big brands, reputable brands, you know, send out messages or something. Except that, like, once a bunch of John's friends discovered it, they just, like, used it to, because there's no screening process. Like, anyone could send out any message. And a lot of people are, like, set the prices pretty low, like $5, $10, $20.
There was, wait. If you volunteer, if you were sold your own tweets.
Yeah, kind of like
any company could buy in, and you couldn't, like,
check
before.
Yeah, so.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, it's totally stupid. But a lot of the, like, so a lot of celebrities did this, but their prices were just, you know, the barrier for entry was not quite in the, like, I'm going to do this as a joke. I'm not going to pay $1,000 to get Khloe Kardashian to tweet Goatsy, but I might pay $10 to get one of these, like, lame joke accounts where it's, like, funny lol tweets or something like that that have, like, 30,000 followers or something. But, you know, so a lot of people did that to...
Do you remember anything, like, what sort of... Oh, Goatsy links.
Goatsy things about, like, you know, whatever was at that moment. They're sort of pictures of a pig pooping on its own balls.
I don't
that
know
was a
that
popular
works.
One.
Do you want to see it?
Nope.
It's the pig does not look healthy. Not.
Everyone goes wild for this picture. I think you would love it.
You Shut would like up. It. You would like it. If you search piggy poop balls.
Well, I'm not doing that. So it also seems like part of this is just like the brilliance is sometimes just in noticing an opportunity, like an economic, it's almost an economics of it. Like here's all this, these resources being provided because someone has a completely different goal with them. And if you just misuse those resources, that's where the brilliance comes. John, you were talking about this comb story about buying these combs.
A friend of mine, I mean, it's not so much of a story, but Amazon carries a gross 144 plastic combs. And he needed something for his birthday. So I bought him 144 plastic combs. And he gave them out to people. And then one day, years later, he instant messaged me saying he just gave away his last comb. And that was a fantastic day for me because I didn't think that he did anything with it. I thought he just probably threw them away.
Right. So I feel like it's a tiny example of that kind of essence of this stuff is like, here's a thing that no normal person would do. And then it becomes brilliant just by being like, why not do these? It's like that XKCD comic where the guy is.
Right. No, and his hair was great for like 3 years. So that was cool.
Right. It's this sort of principle that. When you think about it, like, why don't you just make a ball pit in your apartment? Like, what rule is there saying that you can't do this stuff? And on the internet, so many people build a site and try to think that everything is going to work within their rules. And when you come along with your own set of ideas of what makes sense, you get to buy shitloads of combs. I wanted to talk also about horse ebooks. And John, you were, in fact, one of the first. You kind of blew up. Horse ebooks.
I was probably the first to write about it. Mm-hmm. I think somebody else retweeted it way, way long ago, like years ago. And it was just it's an account that is trying to sell ebooks relating to horses. And you know, ebooks are just pretty much PDF files that have a couple tips on whatever facet of life you're interested in. And so there'll be little snippets here and there. And in order to avoid spam filters, it pastes a couple snippets of a book and then a link to the book to buy it. And it's been doing this for years, since at least 2008. And it's been hilarious, actually, throughout the whole thing. Famous crab, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And around September or so, we noticed that the byline that says, you know, posted at, you know, 3 p.m. on Tuesday... via Horse eBooks, which was a little app that was generating the little tweets, became via web. And so this led us to believe that somebody had taken control of the account. But it's been getting progressively more insane.
It's been getting more interesting, and to the point that it has 53,000 followers. I want to ask, how many people here have more than that on Twitter? I have more followers than 53,000. One person. And I am assuming a lot of you are really interesting and have things to say, and I feel like that's just a beautiful world that we live in.
Well, it's inspiring. It has like a kind of a narrative. It's sort of halfway threatening at times.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tweets the other day said, "Give me any number of people and I'll have them burning," or something like that. And it was just very almost apocalyptic in its way. And I think it might be coming to a head at some point. I don't know.
What's funny now is I started like finding everyone who you are adding with and following on Twitter, and you know, just basically I'm finding all your Twitter friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm sometimes having trouble figuring out which of them are just a person being super funny and non sequitur,
right?
And if any of them are just they sound like this, just
yeah,
really planned.
I don't know who most of the people I'm following are. Mm-hmm. Like I just follow things that make me mirthful. So
I find that at that point I find this time where I'm like, am I finding this funny or it's just odd enough that my brain responds to that and says, well, just give me more of that. Like, is that brilliant comedy or just, do you ever, any of you guys find yourself at all at any point, like wondering if you're really amused by something or just the idea of it happening? That's a terrible question. You don't have to answer.
I mean,
that.
I guess like I have a low tolerance for low random humor that's particularly contrived. I mean, I can only take so much Tim and Eric for that reason. I mean, I love a lot of their stuff, but I feel like there's a point at which if you're not stoned, like you're not really going to get much out of it. And I think what's so charming about stuff like this is that it comes from such an obscure place that's like, you know, there was no writer's room. So, you know, there aren't experts sitting around the table coming up with something like this. It just sort of is a happy accident. And to me, that sort of adds to my ability to appreciate this sort of random humor. And I mean, that's why I'm so obsessed with 4chan, is that like something that just completely catches me off guard and upends all my expectations of even like as grandiose a statement of what the internet is. You know, that's what I enjoy about it.
I think anything that has authenticity to it, like mm-hmm. that did, is just automatically better and funnier.
Well, so do you find yourself also looking around and questioning something and thinking, I can only like this if
sure,
it turns out there's not a smart...
Texts from Bennett, right? Really mm-hmm. hilarious. Then we find out, you know, it's not.
Did it destroy it for you, or...?
I mean, I suspected it was
sure.
a comedian all along, so...
No. I've been really interested in that. People do seem to, like, a lot of readers do seem to, like, have a real problem
yeah.
with finding out this
exactly.
wasn't authentic. Nothing has changed about the content.
Right.
It's still a story.
Sure.
Just as it was.
It's just the background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's very important, though.
It was, enough that we ran on Selectory a piece just mocking it, that we were like, here's my text from Bennifer, and just like completely making it up. And it caught into some rage, some populist rage against, who was it that was tweeting it? It was a guy. It was a famous guy.
I forget.
Yeah. One of the Odd Future kids, wasn't it? No?
Was it?
I don't think so.
No? Oh, well. It was someone. Anyway.
It was someone.
Yeah. So I think in a second we can take questions. And if anyone wants to ask questions on Twitter, that's also a thing that we can do right now. But just before that, I want to talk about if any of you guys are finding other media that you're trying, that you're starting to enjoy fucking with, or what medium you really like. And Tofurkus, if you could also talk a little more about if you've ever had any point. Yeah, first, if you could talk about if any... At any point, you regretted doing something on Tumblr?
This wasn't on Tumblr, but the thing I regretted the most was photoshopping Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson engaged in raunchy sex together. And it was a statement about, you know, their views on homosexuality, and you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it was so realistically painful, disgusting to look at. That nobody could really get my message.
Where
they
was this? It wasn't
girls.
On. It wasn't on Tumblr.
This was before Tumblr. This was mm-hmm. way back. Yeah.
I'm just imagining you like carefully cropping every.
I was zoomed in
like, around some old guy's nuts.
My monitor was way too big for that. And yeah, there was some nut cropping.
Do you ever feel like you censor yourself at Tumblr more because now you have more of an official role?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you?
The week I started at Tumblr, I in the office as an employee, for real. I was for a few weeks actually. I was kind of like, what are the limits here? What can I post? And over the last 3 years, I've pushed the boundaries probably further than I should have with some posts. But that's.
And you do run you also run a couple of these secondary blogs that you specifically seem to have more raunchy stuff and have you run into any
side
problems
blogs,
with
yeah,
that?
Where I have more freedom, I just don't want to besmirch the great Topher Chris name.
But, right.
I'd rather not.
And you feel that's generally been a fine channel to.
Definitely, because I feel like, in that case, if someone's okay with that kind of humor, then they'll follow it. If not,
Because there's another the example of how Tumblr is one of these cooler platforms that someone was telling me that in Russia, in Iran, the only place they could get porn was on Tumblr.
How about
and
that?
David Karp has very publicly, talked to the media that there is pornography on Tumblr. It's not a gigantic part of the site, but there's plenty of it, and that he said that is not something that I'm morally against. It's there as long as it's
sure, it's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there,
and I feel like that's actually been way to Tumblr's credit, and part of why it's grown so much is that they haven't Pinterest obviously has been a little more.
Oh, do they ban?
They've been hands-on, I think, about stuff like that because they wanted to more specifically appeal to a fan base of ladies planning weddings.
Makes sense.
There's porn on Pinterest?
No, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if they've banned it, but
I was about
it's
to ask all these people for an invite right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only shoe porn, right, ladies?
I feel like Pinterest is the thing that, I'm sort of most interested in trying to figure out a way to troll, and I haven't figured
exactly.
that out yet.
Exactly.
Have you been in there trying to?
I have. The first thing, sort of what you talked about the pornography. So the only stuff I started uploading was pictures. If you guys are familiar with bodybuilding.com's forums, there's this vast network of forums that's sort of similar to 4chan.
It seems like it's surprisingly large for something that sounds like a niche site.
Yeah, the
internet.
Forums are, there's people just talking about bodybuilding, but then there's a whole miscellaneous section that is very similar to 4chan, Reddit. It has a lot of the same kind of conversations going on, a lot of the same content, but in a much more bro way. It's kind of frightening. But it's kind of funny because people do have their profile pictures up, so usually they're also kind of interested in bodybuilding, so they usually have a bare-chested in their bathroom mirror pic of here's me 6 months ago, here's me today with more muscle mass. So I've only been uploading bare-chested guys' profile pics to Pinterest, and it is, the weird thing is looking for other bodybuilding.com uploaded shots is all women. I know that Pinterest is for women, but bodybuilding.com is so for men, and it's so rare that there's women on there, but the ones on Pinterest, it's 80% the female bodybuilders on there. But I still have not figured out a way to sort of crack what you can do to troll people on Pinterest. If anyone has any suggestions, I'm all ears.
And this reminds me this reminds me of a thing that I just forgot, which was it was reminding me of BuzzFeed. I forget the connection, but it was that, phone pictures. That there was a meme recently where you Photoshop different things over the phone in a phone picture. I think it was at Erlesque that we ran Drew Villano. She had just taken a picture of herself and Photoshopped a banana in her hand or an ice cream cone or something over the phone. And I said, that's brilliant. Can you do that 20 times and make it an article over other people's pictures? And when we did it, some of the people whose pictures we found started finding it and really liking it. And Lauren O'Nizzle contributed and Photoshopped, she's here right now, Photoshopped her own pictures. And then I think BuzzFeed did a thing on this, or maybe it was just going around on Tumblr, and there's now one that's just, I think it's just guys holding Pop-Tarts.
Believe
no, it's guys with fries. That was one of our pictures was a guy with fries, and so this was definitely inspired by this. So another great thing is that, of course, like, these pictures are being taken in a very seemingly self-serious context, and yet a lot of people are doing these to their own photos. And so I think this is also the sort of, like, when you get, oh God, when you get mainstream and... Why do they even have two phones? You don't need those. Anyway, a lot of people are like cool with doing this to themselves, and I think BuzzFeed is really helping with that, right? They're encouraging a lot of people to see is like, oh, I can do this to myself, and like get in on that. Is that have you been? You only started BuzzFeed very recently. Have you had any experience yet working with that?
I know that kind of stuff is very much like. I mean, that's what makes it fun for other people to become part of the joke and not just like look at the joke, but also. Dive on in. Yes, I mean that exactly sort of is like building the conversation that involves other people as opposed to just here's a funny thing, look at it.
Excellent.
Isn't that really what separates internet humor and internet culture from
is that everybody can join
it's
in?
Totally participatory.
Yeah. So does anyone have any questions? You can line up at the mic or raise your hand.
What about
right
the
there?
Mics?
Oh, sorry.
That's it.
That's your shit. Did anyone need that repeated? I mean, did you not hear? Did anyone not
Thank
hear?
Thank you.
Okay. We all heard the meth. That's it. He did the meth after saying lightning bolt. Yeah.
So you're saying that while that video was being shot, he probably was actually thinking in his head that...
Walter White was standing right behind him. Like, it was very... Oh yeah, he thought he was in.
Yeah,
that's not meth. On meth, you just think you're doing a shitty job of it, right?
Come on, I do drugs.
It's drugs. Do we have any other questions? Yes. Does anyone, Topher, do you have?
It certainly helps if you have a lot of followers, you know. But I feel like more than half of the stuff I see just pops up out of nowhere from people that are, you know, getting their first taste of that widespread attention. And a lot of times it's stuff that they had produced months earlier. I mean, a lot of YouTube videos go viral years after they've been uploaded. It's just someone, like one of these people on the stage, will find it and write about it, and suddenly it's a big thing. But yeah, and it's really frustrating, you know, to feel like you have no audience and that no one's listening, and even I still feel that way, you know, which is ridiculous. But I feel like no one's listening, you know. So can you guys hear me? No.
I really highly recommend if anyone ever is like inventing something they think is really cool. There are so many blogs, the Daily What, my blog Slacktory. We're all very interested in finding those and. BuzzFeed, very much. There are just so many sites that would love to get an email. The Daily What, I think a lot of it works on tips. And of course, once it's in one of these blogs, it ends up in like 50 others. So I think that while you may not get everyone to come to something that is more, like if you write a long, intelligent text piece, it may be really hard to get anyone to ever see it. But this kind of thing, if you're doing like a novelty blog, there's just a really great system in place for making that super popular. I would really just say, you know, you write tips at a couple of these blogs, and it would be really hard not to get the attention that you deserve. Maybe not the attention that you hoped that the idea deserved, but like if the idea is good, and you know, if it doesn't take off, you know, you'd find five more. I think this is definitely the kind of content that's really rewarded by the often frustrating shift away from large, smart, intelligent content to our shit. And it's, you know, it's snackable, it's spreadable. Any other questions?
Do you have any thoughts on April 1st on the internet?
I was thinking whether to mention that, because it's a, well, first, what is your opinion of it? Was it ever good? Was there like a good April Fool's Day? No, yeah. Anyone have thought, has anyone seen like a good April Fool's Day prank on the internet?
Never.
Have you ever participated in any?
No. It's incredibly like wildly lame, and mm-hmm.
What is it about it? Is it just that everyone's agreeing that's when they're doing it, and that takes away the whole point?
It feels a lot like when your mom shows up at school and tries to be cool with you, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, it's not ever good, ever, mm-hmm. never.
The whole point of a prank is to surprise and subvert someone's expectations, and when everyone's expecting that that's going to happen that day, it sort of defeats the purpose.
Come on, it's fun. No, actually, April Fool's is my favorite day on the internet. Which
really?
Is, yeah.
What do you do stuff on April Fool's?
Yeah, we do stuff. Tumblr, we'll do stuff. You know, we'll mess with some things.
What lame pranks has Tumblr done?
What lame? There are no lame
What have you
pranks.
Done?
You know, we had a thing where you could pay a dollar to have your avatar in the sidebar on mm-hmm. Tumblr. It was called the Tumblr avatar O-matic, and you'd be positioned there, you know, for until you get knocked off. Lots of traffic.
You know. Wait, your prank was that people could like buy an ad
day.
on the blog
for one day
for
on
a day.
Fools. Tumblr would.
This is mom.
Yeah,
no, it's brilliant.
Your ads are generated
We have a business
one
model.
Day.
April Fools.
Pretty good.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's fair.
But what? And you've done personal stuff on your own as well.
Sure, I've said that I've gotten a book deal for a blog called Pretty Colors, which is nothing but colors.
Right. That's
which
great.
It might actually have a book deal at some point.
What?
You never know.
Yeah. This is.
Think big. Stuff like that. This is a very popular blog, by the way.
I'd buy that book.
So, I can definitely see that being in like an art gallery museum mm-hmm. shop.
Oh, yeah.
That is one
exactly.
other question I wanted to ask everybody. What do you guys feel of like the people who, there are so many artists who they do something very simple and that is basically like a single topic blog and get this certain sort of recognition and I mean, obviously they actually get much less attention than we do on a pure like viewership basis. But do any of you have like, have you ever, any of you tried to get like recognized in an artistic context or seen it happen or rejected that?
I mean, I would love it if people believed that, you know, the stuff I do is art. I don't really think that will ever happen. But you know, I mean, like sort of net art does have this very, you know, playful thing. One of my favorite net art pieces that is kind of like a single topic blog that's just like, it's one punchline and it's really funny is this guy Mike Bell Smith does a site oontz.com and I don't know if it's spelled N-C-E or
is it this?
No, it's not that.
What's his
I think it might
what's
be,
his name?
It might be like Mike. Oontz like out like N-C-E
ooh.
I think it's that spelling three times. Yeah.
That's definitely art.
And so on.
Yeah. And it just keeps going, and it's amazing. And it's, I mean, he's a serious artist and is well-regarded. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's awesome and funny. And, like, mm-hmm. we can all get it in as one good chuckle, but it's also, like, you know.
Do you have at any point like a jealousy of like, well, I do basically that. Why don't I get?
I mean, no, but yeah. I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm. But you feel much. You don't. That's not like the reward you're doing it for in any way.
Sometimes I've seen like some of the sites I've done like reposted under headline of like things to waste time at. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, like people just want to waste time. I worked hard for this. Mm-hmm. That's a time waster, but, or like stupid things.
It's funny. The magician Teller recently wrote how like one of the tricks of making great magic is just to do way more preparation than anyone thought you feasibly could have done. So they won't think of the trick to the joke because they it doesn't cross their mind that you could have spent 3 weeks just on doing that one thing. And a lot of these things, it does seem like
yeah.
you spend so much work, and people don't think of that because it seems so unserious.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to someone recently about the dumb tweets at Brand's blog, and they were like, "Ooh, did you think you felt like when you was like bored and drunk?" And I was like, "No, like this was like a lot of thought, and it took kind of a lot of work too." Mm-hmm. But I think that it does give the illusion that it was like, "I was just bored, I did it, so it pierced my navel," you know. I mean, I did do that part of the navel piercing was part of the concept of making that blog.
I'm actually, if I can talk about this for a sec, I'm really interested in trolling or as a political statement or as just a cultural statement. Earlier at lunch, we were talking about probably my favorite non-4chan troll is this guy that I discovered. I uploaded a video to YouTube that was just, I forget what it was, but it was something like a dumb cat video. It wasn't a cat video, but it was like that. And he wrote, "Welcome to Obama's America" underneath. And at the time I was writing at Erlesque at AOL, and a lot of AOL's people who read AOL sites are people who are still using AOL as an ISP and therefore are possibly in, you know, the type of person who would say "Welcome to Obama's America." Anyway, it was just like I was baffled that he would write such a politically charged thing on a totally apolitical video. And then I clicked on his username and started looking at his other comments. And he had commented that very same thing on hundreds of other videos. Just "Welcome to Obama's America" on like "Charlie Bit My Finger." And like, and I thought like it was actually kind of a brilliant statement about the readiness at which people are willing to become enraged by politics. And I think that, I mean, obviously this guy knew what he was doing. And everywhere he went, he was, like, starting little flame wars, like Johnny Appleseed of trolling or something like that. And I just thought it was a great, like, performance art piece almost.
And that does seem to be another motive people have is they love to, like, on the one hand, people love to spend a hell of a lot of time and effort to make something that looks beautiful in the end. The marble cake strikes me as that as well because, like, they had to figure out, like, we've got to vote for this person this much. Like, it was actually elegant. But then there's this joy of being able to make the minimum.
Right.
Like, there's it, like Johnny Appleseed.
Elegant simplicity in Welcome to Obama's America.
Yeah. If you, there's that famous, like, rage comic style where the guy goes in and does the one, I don't know how.
Even know what to search for, but I know exactly the one you're talking about.
There's some classic comic that gets passed around a lot on 4chan because and on Reddit because I'm describing the comic. So in panel one,
it's good. Like, it's a guy and he runs up to a crowd of people and goes, "Abortion." And then everyone freaks out and he runs away smiling.
No, this isn't going to do it. But there's also... No. This is going to happen. But anyway, people will paste a lot of different things in there. Where, because this is what people will do on 4chan. They'll start a thing that says Europe versus America. And then just let everyone get really pissed about it. And then there's just such a pride in saying, "Oh, I don't even care. You mad, bro. I'm not. I ain't even mad." Are things. I didn't make up those phrases. Those are like, I'm not weird. Anyway, Corey Archangel is another of these artists that I've found really great because he does seem to like try to enter. He tries to entertain. To that end, he did a project with BuzzFeed where he posted a lot of his work on here and kind of like accepted this context for what he was doing at the same time that he was in, I think it was MoMA?
He had a big show at the Whitney.
The Whitney, that's where it was, yeah. And so these gradients up here, he printed Photoshop gradients, these absolutely beautiful Photoshop gradients on like 10 feet by 8 feet or whatever. And they look great, but part of the thing was like he even included, this is the, you just go into Photoshop and, you know, follow these instructions and you can make it. And that was part of his point was like, you know, here I'm just doing, or I'm
leading
that into it.
Do you think he was sort of trolling the art establishment and saying like anybody can get in here?
I would think that maybe if I hadn't gone and seen them and thought, this is as great as Rothko. Like I was able to stand in front of each one and actually feel like, oh, this kind of You totally don't believe me.
It touched you.
You think I came up? Yeah.
I mean,
no.
I think
it actually was.
I would argue that some of the things that Andy Warhol did probably don't belong in museums.
Do you think because they're trolling they don't belong, or?
Well, I mean, I think that they had a lot of glee about convincing people like that. Something that came out of my butt is art,
right.
Which is like an actual literal piece of art that someone did. It's called artist shit. You can look it up on Wikipedia.
There was a great interview, I think, in the New Yorker with Corey Archangel, where he said something about how art funny is different than funny funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very true. Like, I think that people think that his work is funny because it's playful, but like that is different. Like, you're not like slapping your thigh and like dying laughing, like rolling off your seat looking at his stuff. You're like
scratching your chin.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I think sets him apart from a lot of people who are still working at this is he really gets the medium that he's working with. So this is a piece by Paganini that's supercut from many different videos, but instead of every few seconds switching, he switches every single note. So if you can stand it, it actually becomes quite beautiful, and it's something that can only be, you know, created in this way. And yet, like, it's kind of like he's taking some common internet art form and reducing it to a joke.
One thing I don't really care for is how he says, vote for Ron Paul at the end of each one, which is like it kind of turns me off a little bit.
Okay, so I think we're almost out of time. Does anyone else have a last question? Yes? Superbad.com?
I'm not familiar with
that's
that
a good
either.
One. No, it's good. Yeah. It used to be. I don't know if it's still...
Yeah, did the movie buy it, or...?
No, it's like this maze of just interestingly designed little pages.
Oh, right. This is the one you just get...
Yeah. You can look at it for hours.
I'm just going to do this for the rest of the day. And thank you all for coming. I'm pretty sure maybe we're a little early, but thank you so much.